Roni's Own Radio, the award-winning view and interview show with your host, Jeff Roni. Just to remind you that we have the privilege of talking to Wayne Henderson of MediaVoiceOvers.com. And last week was part one, and now this is part two. So we're going to dive right in right here. Now, I've listened to a lot of interviews with, Damon and JJ and all the writers and producers and different things. And I know that there's a lot of parts to the pie. There's the Twilight Zone element and, you know, Fugitive and these mysterious shows and different things like that. And I think, first of all, you know, the thing that's scary about Lost is it's not a show that you can kind of show up on week 32, sit down, get kind of an idea of what the show's about, watch it, and it stands by itself, and then at the end you go, oh, okay, that's what the show is. To me, that's almost like a detriment. It's like, no, you can't do that. But it's work for Lost. Why? Why do you think?
I just think, yeah, and other shows have failed trying to do the same thing, though some have succeeded. But, you know, making it where you really do have to make a commitment and investment in the story and the characters so that you can enjoy the whole overall thing. I don't know how they just got lucky and all these things came together, and pulling from, you know, all these book references and Star Wars and Alice in Wonderland and just mixed it up into this grand thing. I don't know how they thought of it or how they were able to do it so well, but I'm enjoying all of it. And especially this past week, Jeff, this was definitely not one of those episodes of Lost where you could just show up.
Right.
Let me check out this new show.
There's a number of things, and I'm going to try and keep myself from just geeking out too much, but there is this idea of humanity and how things sometimes are not coincidences, and how sometimes the basic premise is we are all connected as a people. Some people don't agree, but I do, and it's funny how you start watching Lost and you go, wait a minute, that woman was in that background of that store, and she was in the plane, and well, that's weird. But I mean, you know, a guy told me, I used to sweep sidewalks for a bank. That was my first real job. Mm-hmm. And the president of the bank, he took me around. It was really interesting. It was like one of those kind of surreal moments. And he kind of told me about my job. I want you to sweep this out. I want you to clean this out. I want you to trim the bushes. I want you to get this out. And he was very clear about what he wanted to do. And he looked at me and he goes, the one thing I'm going to tell you is this. One, get an education. And two, the world is very small. And the older you get, the smaller it will get. So remember to be kind to people. And he turned and he walked in the bank. And I'll never forget that. And that's kind of what I see with Lost, is that actually it's a really small world, and we need everybody. And your actions and reactions reverberate through everyone. And that's kind of a humbling thought sometimes when you think about what you said or what you did, kind of tying into the thing we're talking about before, is what reverberations is going to happen. And to kind of key in with that theme is they shoot everything on Oahu, everything. And one place it can look like all over the world. So there is some type of connection. What do you think about that?
I agree totally. And they've kind of touched on it directly in Lost with this, I think, is it the 6 degrees of separation? Mm-hmm. And so they've trained us to always, you know, look for people in the background that may be somebody familiar or maybe later will be familiar. And even whether the reverberation that you may cause is large or small, and then it might get amplified by somebody else or get stunted by somebody else, everybody in a way is connected. And like you said, we all do need everybody. And Lost is kind of, I think, And the magic that they do in Hawaii in making it look like New York or England, it's just crazy that how they're able to do it so well.
I also wanted to throw this question out at you, and this is, we're kind of easing out on thin ice, but I think all of us pull in our own backgrounds and our own life up to this point, right? That we're watching it into Lost, and I think some Christians want Lost to be a Christian show, and if it's not, they're not going to watch it. But when I watch Lost, I bring my belief system into that show. Some of it fits, some of it doesn't, but I still watch the show. But I do see other things that will connect other people too with this whole idea of redoing something. Now, I don't personally believe in reincarnation, but I do see that type of thing where you can have a do-over. That you have the opportunity to make something right. And you can have a do-over while you're still alive, but it's just,
Exactly.
how do you see the whole spectrum of religious or philosophical thought in Lost? Is it okay for you?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely okay for me since it's, a secular show and a really good one. And, it's always good to kind of watch something with, I guess, a critical eye. I kind of like Daniel that does the Ramen Noodle podcast. He has a new one called Are You Just Watching or Are You Watching Something with a Critical Eye? And, as long as we know what we believe and we don't let a TV show necessarily sway what we believe, or if they try to present something maybe that's from the Bible that we know doesn't seem quite right, we can sort that out. But it's their show. And so if they bring in, some Buddhist elements or because they've brought in all sorts of different religious backgrounds into the show. And it is kind of interesting to see that they have brought in so many Christian elements into the story as well. It's just, I try to just make sure that I'm paying attention as far as lining anything up with my beliefs, but at the same time, remembering it's a TV show and I'm enjoying what they're putting together there, and they're not really trying to, change my way of thinking.
Well, I enjoy it, and I know some of my friends and colleagues and things they have. I'm just gonna throw it, they have a fear of watching something or being involved in something that doesn't have a blessing of a certain pastor or certain dogma or certain whatever. I don't, because I know what I believe. I'm very clear on that. And watching something won't change that. And what I like about Lost is, for instance, if I like the color blue, right? And I'm looking at a cityscape, I'm going to pick out the blue. There may be a lot of green. And some people say, I don't like green. Well, I'm not really seeing the green. I'm seeing the blue. And so that's kind of what I do with Lost. When there's something that really resonates with me, it really resonates. And when something doesn't, I'm like, okay, it's a part of the story. And that scares some people. Have you had any kind of really difficult discussions with maybe, some Christians folks or Catholic folks or some other religion about Lost?
No, not really with Lost. I've been maybe fortunate in that arena that nobody's really taken a big opposition to the show because of what it presents. Some people are just opposed to how confusing it is. But kind of a funny thing along the same lines was a few weeks ago in church, our pastor was talking and he was, kind of asking if people these days are too busy. And they're too busy to maybe let God come into their life. And everybody's like, no, we'll let God into our life and all of that. And he said, well, what if he came by your house on a Wednesday night, maybe at 9 o'clock when Lost is on? And I thought, oh no, is he talking to me? And no, I've got the DVR running, so I'll be fine. I'll watch Lost later. But so even, I guess he's a big Losty as well. He even touched on Twitter. But on the other side of it, I myself, just as a personal choice, I don't go or watch, you know, like Friday the 13th and Halloween and anything, especially that might have a hint of the demonic and rated R and things like that, because I don't know, it's just not for me.
Okay, all right. Well, I think that it is interesting that a show from time to time that have so many deep, for me, Christian tones and themes is such a huge hit. When I watch Rose on the beach grab Jack's hand and say, "Let's pray." I mean, you know, that's a rare thing.
Yeah, that was nice.
And you know, certain moments of you know, just in the most recent Lost episodes of when, you know, a leader is killed, and the followers, like the disciples, are really confused. And it, to me, it's really kind of taking that idea that we read in the New Testament, when the shepherd is struck and the sheep scatter. There's there's this real confusion. You know, Peter, you know, standing at the fire with the little servant girl. That servant girl nailed him to the wall, you know, and he was like, no, it ain't me. And she goes, it is you. Matter of fact, you even talk like a Galilean. No, I saw you with him. No, I, you know, cursed and ran off. And it's very interesting coming from, you know, the background of really reading these stories in the Bible and really kind of getting it. And I'm not better than anybody else, but it's just, these people are real to me. And then to kind of watch these shows and say, hey, that's like the disciples, and they really picked that up. So it's, I love the show. I kind of get a little miffed here and there and kind of cross my arms and say, you know, because I'm older and I'm like the old guys on the Muppet Show. I'm not going to watch this anymore. And then I'm going, well, turn it on. Let's see what they're ruining now, you know.
Yeah, I've heard some of the voicemails that you called into my podcast, and I appreciate those. A different eye view on what might be going on the island.
They're like therapy, so I guess maybe I should pay you. So anyway, but Lost is coming to an end. You know, the proverbial fat lady is going up through the scales. She's going to be singing, you know, in a while. And what do you think the future is after Lost? What is it going to affect in the future, do you think?
Well, that is so hard to say. We need Daniel Faraday to help us out on that side of it. Mm-hmm. I think that Lost has laid a lot of groundwork for not only other shows, but other podcasts and just other ways of storytelling. And, you know, of course, I'm going to miss having new episodes of Lost. We've talked in the past about, you know, all these shows end and people are, you know, we need to move on. And, you know, I've already got a lot of other podcasting irons in the fire. And although it's the most fun to talk about Lost, I will continue on with podcasting as well as, you know, trying to get more into voiceovers. But I am going to miss that show. What's going to come next? You know, it's hard to say. I mean, for a while after Seinfeld left the air, I thought I'll never watch another comedy because nothing's going to be even near as funny as Seinfeld. And, you know, after a few years of healing and therapy, The Office came along, and that has a lot of funny moments. So maybe there will be another great show. I do like Fringe. It's got a lot of things. You know, it's from J.J. Abrams as well, and it has a lot of things to talk about and mysteries. But it's not quite Lost.
Well, I would kind of register this, kind of set this out on the table, and you'll understand this, is that when a great band like Boston, for example, they basically wrote that debut album for their life until 76 when it was released. The second album, they didn't have that much time. And right. So it's kind of like, I don't know that somebody can have lightning strike twice. maybe JJ can create another show just as incredible as Lost. I watched The Fringe a couple of times. It hasn't captured me. But I think if Star Trek really does well, then I think he's kind of solidified himself as he's got the magic touch, and then, you know, he can kind of move forward.
Right.
But I like his thought process, and me being older, you know, I always think the old guys know everything, and then, you know, we've been around longer. But it's really interesting to see somebody like J.J. Abrams, who didn't go to the theater as much, or who didn't, like, go to the comic book shops and kind of read the Starlog magazines or these old books and kind of watch on television late at night to see these old sci-fi movies and stuff. He can just get a DVD and play it.
Exactly.
And that's how he comes to his understanding of film. And we can see that, you know, he's done fantastically well. Are you looking forward to the Star Trek film, or are you a fan?
Oh, I'm a big Star Trek fan from the original series. I watched it all the time, repeat after repeat after repeat, you know, well before they even had the first Star Trek movie. And in fact, in high school, I was fortunate enough to have a science fiction class that was considered kind of like a fringe English class, counted as English credit, and it was around the time that the first Star Trek movie came out. And unfortunately, I ditched school on opening day and was there, but so was our teacher.
Okay.
But I am very geeked for this upcoming Star Trek movie. The fact on how they're making it look so much like the original series with the original characters, and then the modern J.J. Abrams twists and all that. I think that this is really great. And I don't know what role Leonard Nimoy has in it, but I've heard that he is still at least a small part of this Star Trek. Are you going to go see it, Jeff?
Well, yeah, I am not a card-carrying member Star Trek fan. And my comments go way back, and they're all on digital memes.
Something.
So Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, is the best Star Trek film ever, period. I am interested because of the J.J. Abrams connection. I think the Star Trek films after three kind of went El Stinko, and they just went down the hill. Boy, I don't know who lost their shirt giving them money after four, though. Wow. Amazing. But I, you know, the whole original trilogy thing with Star Wars, that really just, it kind of turned me off. And I think films overall really just kind of lost it. And then Lost came along and Battlestar Galactica. And I think TV basically took over where films started to lapse. And
yeah. Isn't that incredible? I mean, even on Battlestar Galactica, some of the space battle scenes, the special effects were better than anything I saw in Star Trek, Star Wars, or The Matrix. It was just fantastic, and it's on TV.
Right. Well, and that's, I think that's what's really good about whatever you're doing. If you're going to do it well. When I saw the first couple of Battlestar Galacticas and the first couple of Lost, I went, the acting is just incredible. And you know, if you hear these people talk like, well, it was kind of a low budget thing. Well, don't act like it's low budget. Act like it's, you've got all the money in the world. And I think that's what really is different. So Wayne, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Give us some final thoughts. What would you like to tell the folks about, to kind of look forward to, or you've got the final say. Go ahead.
Well, I just appreciate everybody listening to this Roni Zone podcast. And Jeff, I appreciate you having me on. It's wonderful that we have Skype to be able to do these types of things. And if anybody, you know, is interested in checking out my Lost podcast, Lost Casting with Wayne and Dan, Or if you have any questions, maybe you want to hear my voiceover demo, just go to mediavoiceovers.com. Leave me some feedback. Let me know what you think.
Excellent. Thanks again, Wayne, and take care. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. We'll see you.
And that ends our discussion with Wayne Henderson. Just a reminder, please visit his site at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks so much. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com and drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.